Our reading today is taken from Romans chapter 8, from verse 20, and it can be found on page 1135 of the Red Bibles and will also appear on the screen behind me. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning. So anyway, my name's Matt, and this is the question that we are asking ourselves this morning. Why does God allow suffering in the world? And Paul has gone away for the week, which is why you've got me. And so I thought I'd rely on somebody who was at least about, Timothy Keller, who has written this wonderful, wonderful book. It's called Walking with God Through Pain and Suffering. And so this is a big question for you. Why does God allow suffering? Can I just recommend this book to you? It's really good. I'm going to put the library, which is through the back. Don't know about the library, by the way. It's open as of today. So there's a blocking book. And loads of really decent Christian resources out there. Help yourself to them. I'm very aware in coming to this morning that I have suffered in some ways, but that others among you and amongst our various congregations have been through a lot more than me. I have never had to bury a child. I have never had to watch a loved one become sick and nothing seem to change. I have never watched as my children lives have gone wrong and not been able to do anything about it. And so I'm very aware that I haven't walked in your shoes. And so if anything I say today comes across as trite or superficial, I apologize for that. That's not how it's meant. But I hope I will be able to give you some thoughts on suffering. When we're in the middle of it, here are some questions that we sometimes ask. God, why do you not stop it? Are you there? If you are there, are you good? Can I trust you if you haven't stepped in? God, why have you not stepped in? And sometimes in those moments, it's really tempting to jump to a quick but unhelpful answer. Here are some that I've been told over the years that I've found not very helpful. Everything happens for a reason. It's just part of God's plan. One I heard the other week, maybe God is punishing me. Well, what for? Why would he do that? Is that what God is like? Somebody I spoke to said, well, maybe there's something I just don't know about that I've done wrong and that God is kind of seeking sort of vengeance on me. And I thought, the question to ask ourselves is, does that match the picture of God that we see in Jesus? Is that what Jesus is like? When I look at Jesus, I see the prodigal son, the story of the person who walked far away from God, who did all sorts of things and yet was welcomed back. When I look at Jesus, I see the crucifixion, a God who loved me enough to suffer for me. When I look at Jesus, I know that God is love. And I know that those answers are not true. But today we are faced with a bunch of difficult issues to grapple with. Why would God allow the death of a child? Why would he allow illness? Why would he allow depression? Why would he allow cancer? And if you're in the middle of one of those situations, actually an answer and answers and arguments are not always very helpful. So I wanted to deal with this in two halves today. The first half, how do we walk in suffering? How do we walk in those moments when it doesn't seem to end, when God seems to be absent? And the second half is directed at people perhaps who are not suffering right at the moment, thinking, how can I make sense of this? How can I understand it? For one of the truths of humanity is that we will suffer. None of us are immune. And so it's worth us thinking, how can we understand why God would allow it before perhaps it hits our lives? So a few thoughts on how can we walk in suffering. First of all, know that God cares and he knows about your suffering. Sometimes God may appear to be silent, but when we look to Jesus, we can see how he felt, how he acted towards suffering. When his friend Lazarus died, it says in the Bible that he was deeply moved, and some translations say he bellowed in anger. The injustice of it was not lost upon him. We also often focus on that Jesus died and rose, but we forget in the middle God lost a son, that God understands what that is. He is not the God of the stiff upper lip. Also know that God does not doubt our faith because we grieve. We will have ups and downs. We will struggle. We will not always feel on an even keel. But no other God has wounds which can speak to our wounds. He knows what it's like. Secondly, know that it's okay to be angry. King David in the Bible lost two sons. One was killed by one of his other brothers, and the other one died as a very young baby. And he wrote many of our psalms, some of which are psalms of lament, psalms of sadness, of anger. And this morning I felt we could remember, perhaps, that these are legitimate parts of Christian worship. These have always been in our tradition, and it's okay to use the psalms of lament to pray, to give voice to those things that we feel. Psalm 65 says, "Save me, O God, for the waters have come up to my neck. I sink in the miry depths where there is no foothold. I have come into the deep waters. The floods engulf me. I am worn out calling for help. My throat is parched. My eyes fail looking for my God." In some of David's moments, he could not see God. He could not sense God. And he felt lost. And at times that can be our reality too. And the Bible says to us, we do not need to pretend in those moments. Job, my daughter's favorite book in the Bible for some reason, is all about a man who struggles enormously. He loses his family, his health, his wealth, his business, all of it. God, what is going on? Why are you allowing this to happen to me? He grieves. He is annoyed. We have voice in the Bible, something that can help us to know, to empathize with where we are. And yet both characters, David and Job, both of them find hope. David said, God is close to the brokenhearted. So the same David who felt lost, who felt the waters had risen, he is later able to say that God was close to the brokenhearted. Job says, my Redeemer lives and I will see God. I shall see him. Cyprian, who was a first century or third century bishop, said Christians should really grieve. It's okay to grieve. It is part of our human reality. But he says they should do so bathed in hope. We have a hope that one day that will all be over. One day we shall see God face to face, and every tear will be wiped away. I've been reading Psalm 23 this week, and a very famous section which says, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me." And the word that I'd missed every time I've read this before was the word walk. I don't know if you noticed that. "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." I imagine it's kind of not a hop, skip and a jump through the valley. It's not a levitate me and I'll just kind of beam along through the valley of the shadow. It's a walk. And I was reminded that I took Rachel on a walk a little while ago, my wife. We went for a relaxing weekend. And I thought, what could be more relaxing than going up a mountain? So we went up Striding Edge. It doesn't look very relaxing, does it? And it wasn't. And when we went there, it was surrounded by fog. And at that time, we really hadn't done much mountain climbing. We had to buy boots in the morning because we realized that the trainers we had weren't very good. And so we went up the mountain and we got right to the top and Rachel froze. Her feet couldn't move. She just, "I'm just too afraid to keep going. What if I fall off?" And so I'd had a little bit more experience. So I said, "I'll tell you what, I will move your feet for you." So for the next about 3 hours, I would pick up her foot and move it to the next bit of rock and pick up another bit and move it to the next bit of rock. And sometimes she'd get stuck and get worried and not be able to move. And other times we'd keep going for a bit. And I wonder, perhaps we might pray this morning if we're in the middle of suffering, "God, move my foot. I don't think I can see the end of this. I'm not sure I will ever feel differently. But would you move my foot forwards so I can keep going?" Finally, for those of us going through suffering, we can realize what we can control. Often the situation we cannot control. But Paul says, "Set your minds on things above. Choose to think about things above." And so in those moments where God doesn't feel good, where God feels silent, we can choose to remember that he is good. The devil would love us to stop believing in God. But if he can't make us do that, his second best is for us to believe that God is not good and that we are not loved. In the book I recommended to you at the start, there are stories from people who have been through suffering, been through really difficult times. And this is an excerpt from one of them. Martha, in this book, had her husband, who was 48, diagnosed with ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease. It's a degenerative disease that would have ended in his death, and in fact did. And she says, "During those early days of the diagnosis, we quoted every verse we could think about God's care to each other. We attempted to find ways to beat into our hearts the love and faithfulness of God. We planted our feet in the truth we understood, even though everything in our lives seemed otherwise. I sense God saying, 'I am here. In those places you don't think you'll be able to face, I will be there.' We have found joy, growth, and wholeness in our loss. God has so much to give us in the midst of it. And I see how intense sorrow and intense sweetness are mingled together. How much I have learnt and how much sweeter Jesus is to me now." And so those are perhaps some thoughts for those of you going through suffering at the moment. In the second half now, I want to try and deal a little bit more with that question of why does God allow suffering at all? Why would he allow it? And there are four broad answers that I think we can offer. Firstly, some suffering is self-inflicted. We should probably be honest about that. There have been times in my life when I've been saying to God, "God, I'm in a mess." And then later I think, well, I've caused that mess. I've made some pretty poor decisions, and that's what got me in this mess. Proverbs 19:3 says, "When a man's folly or errors or mistakes or deliberate choices bring his way to ruin, his heart rages against the Lord." I don't believe in karma. I don't believe that I do something wrong on one day and God saves it up and pays it back to me in a different way. But as Christians, the Bible does say that there are consequences to our actions. One of the sad things, though, about it is often when we go wrong, we want to hide, like Adam did in the Garden of Eden. We don't want to go back to God, for we suffer. And we think, well, is God good? Is he going to welcome me back? And this morning, I'd like to encourage you, yes, he will. He will always, always welcome you back. Other suffering is caused more broadly by humans having freedom. Others' choices will hurt us. And some of us here this morning have been hurt by other people's freedom, other people's choices. The passage we had this morning, Romans 8, says, why does God allow this? In hope that creation will one day be free of bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. So why does God allow suffering? In order that there will be more time, that more people will be able to choose to love Jesus, choose to accept him. And then God will be able to come back and every tear will be wiped away and the earth will be sat in the order that it should be, in the way that it's meant to be. Thirdly, and perhaps the thing I've struggled with most this week, is that some suffering is part of God's plan. Probably if you'd asked me a fortnight ago, I'd have said I don't think it is. But actually, in doing some reading, in doing some looking into this, I think some suffering does seem part of God's plan. 1 Peter 1:20 says, Jesus was killed by the Romans, but it was part of God's plan. He intended it. Joseph, when he was sold into slavery by his brothers, they find him. And he says to them, what you intended for evil, God intended for good. And ultimately, Joseph ended up helping thousands of people not to starve. St. Paul says, a thorn was sent to him by the devil, a difficulty that God did not take away. But he said it was sent so that he would not be prideful, to teach him something. But throughout this, there are always two agents. Either the devil or people are inflicting the suffering, and God, for some reason, allows it as part of his plan. It's so countercultural. I found even in myself thinking, but surely God's purpose is to make me happy. Surely he wouldn't allow this suffering. But then I went to the Bible and looked at, well, what is God about? What does he want to do? 1 Timothy 2:4 says, it is his desire that all people should be saved. Romans 8:29, it says that we should be changed to be more like God. John 17:26, that he wants a close relationship with us, to know his love which surpasses all knowledge. See, in the long run, we will be happy. We will be immeasurably happy in God's presence. But sometimes, as part of the way, God's plan can include suffering. Finally, God seems to allow suffering, but uses it in our lives. So suffering is already happening, but he uses it for us. Romans 8:28, which we had read this morning, God works all things together for the good of those who love him. And I'm always reminded when I hear that verse of Jacob in the Bible. He wrestled with God. He grappled with God. He refused to let go until God had blessed him. And yet we read that for the rest of his life, Jacob walked with a limp because of it. In our last church, we knew a couple who supported families who'd lost children. And they said, all of them, including them who'd also lost a child, we all walk with a limp because of it. We are all different because of it. But like Jacob, they said, in that moment, we gripped onto God and we wouldn't let go. And we were blessed through it and changed through it. Another story from the book, Georgiana writes about having had her children taken away after a false allegation of abuse. They were taken away for a little over a year, and she didn't know if she'd get them back. And she writes, I praise God that he is still writing new chapters of our life. My family and I are humbly grateful for the suffering our Father God endured with us. For without it, we would be comfortably living our old normal instead of courageously living our new normal. It is not easy, but perhaps we ask ourselves, God, what have you done in my life and character? Can I welcome you to do something in my life, even through this? So where does all of this land us? If we're in a mess that we have caused, come back to God. He will always welcome you. Remember that he knows, he understands, and cling to him, even in those moments. It's okay to be angry. It's okay to hurt and to grieve. We live in a world that is a mess, but one day it will be restored and remade. And until then, we live with the mess and the hurt, and it's not easy. And until we see God again and he wipes away every tear from our eyes, we pray and trust and choose to believe, God, that you are good and that you are for us and that you love us. Let's just take a moment of quiet and to ask God, what is that that he would want to speak to us this morning? Perhaps like me in the difficult times, you've said to God, I'm not sure that you are good. I'm not sure that you are there. Maybe now is a good time to decide to start that process of coming back, of allowing him to show you that he is good and that he was there. Father God, you know what each of us have been through. You know the suffering. You know the challenges. Would you come near to us now? Would you give us your hope again? Would you help us to put one foot in front of the other and guide us as we do that? If you like prayer, there will be people around to pray. I was really aware that in dealing with a big topic, that a prayer ministry which says God will take it away in an instant isn't really how God often works. We often walk a step at a time, and God walks with us a step at a time. So I felt like coming to a prayer ministry time, if you want to start that walk or restart that walk with God, that would be a great thing to say. Can you pray with me to do that? And maybe find someone who will walk with you through the next months and years and keep meeting and keep praying for you during that time. So I hope that's helpful. Toby's going to play for a while and we're going to stand and worship together. But if you would like prayer, do come and find one of us and we'll go from there.
While we were just sitting in silence, I kind of felt like often when we're in a dark place, when we're going through that valley of the shadow of death, you kind of want to keep walking and get through it as fast as you can. But God kind of said to me, there's time to rest while you're there as well. You don't have to keep walking. If you feel tired, sit down and just rest, have a snack, sit, have a cup of tea with me and talk to me about it. I understand what you're going through. I want to come close to you and help you carry this burden, but you can't do that if you're just trying to walk in your own strength. You need to walk hand in hand with me. And when times are really tough, just sit down and rest and be still with me and know that I am God, that I love you, and that I'm in control.